Studio 360.
When I was writing my novel Heyday, set in 1840s New York, I did a lot of research and discovered the etymology of the term con man, why we started calling swindlers that. It's because in the late 1840s, a clever crook named William Thompson would approach New Yorkers on the street and chat them up in a friendly way and get their trust and then ask, "Have you enough confidence in me to trust me with your watch until tomorrow?" Amazingly, a lot of people fell for his trick. Less surprisingly, Thompson never returned the watches. When he was finally arrested, the trial was a huge sensation in all the new cheap penny papers. And ever since, Americans have been fascinated by confidence men. Americans like Maria Konnikova. She wrote a book about him called The Confidence Game, Why We Fall For It Every Time. She's also hosting a great new podcast about cons called The Grift. It was watching a movie about con artists that got Maria interested in the subject in the first place, so I asked her to come in and share with us some of her favorite films about con artists and what she has learned from talking to real-life grifters about what makes them tick. Maria, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you have this fabulous new podcast called The Grift, and you had me at the name. I just love the name. But tell the listeners about it.
It's a long-form storytelling podcast where every episode is devoted to one story of one grifter or con artist. And it's really exploring not just the stories, but kind of the nature of the con and how it works, why people fall for it, why we're so drawn to it, and why even really intelligent people, I think, are kind of potential victims of the grift.
Right. It's a great idea, and so far, there's only a few episodes, but they're very good. And the second one in particular is great. It's called Genuine Fake. It's about this art forger, Ken Perenni, who sold his fake paintings to, like, the big auction houses and galleries. I have always been fascinated by this racket of art forgery in particular. I want to play a minute of your story about Ken.
Did you ever feel bad for the end buyer who, you know, unwittingly got this from an auction house thinking that it had been kind of vetted and was really buying one of your paintings? And did you ever think of them? Did you ever care about them?
No, not in the least, because I always felt that they were getting perhaps the better part of the bargain. They got a beautiful work of art. After all, aren't you supposed to be buying art for the aesthetic enjoyment as an art collector? So no regrets at all. I think they've done very well for their investment.
I'm talking to Maria Konnikova about con men and grifters. So that guy, I don't know if he was putting it on for you, playing a character that he had no remorse, but he has no more remorse, right?
No. For him, I think that he genuinely does not feel bad. He's almost gleeful,
right?
You know, that he's pulled one over, and he thinks that they're suckers. I mean, he really looks down on those people.
Right.
He says, if you can't tell the difference between the real thing and mine, then you don't deserve the real thing.
Yeah. So before you started doing this podcast, you wrote the book, The Confidence Game, and you were inspired to do that after seeing David Mamet's movie, House of Games?
That's absolutely right. Yeah. So I watched that movie one night. And the difference between that movie and other movies about con artists is that the protagonist, the victim of the con, is really, really intelligent. So it's a woman who has a PhD. She's a psychologist, so she's someone who should be able to read people.
Let's listen to a clip from House of Games. This is where that famous psychologist, played by Lindsay Krauss, confronts the guy who conned her, who is played by Joe Mantegna.
What do you want? What do you want from me? You want your 80 grand back? I can't give it back. I split it up. What do you want? Revenge?
I gave you my trust.
Of course you gave me your trust. That's what I do for a living. You asked me what I did for a living. This is it. Look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. Really. You're a good kid. Now, whatever it is you feel that you have to do.
Sit down, please.
I'd love to, but
I said to sit down.
What are you going to do, go to the cops?
I may.
And tell them what? What are you going to tell them, stud? that the author of the best-selling Driven, A Guide to Compulsive Behavior, gave her fortune away to some con man? You see my point?
That's House of Games. So had you thought about the psychology of con artistry before this movie?
No, I hadn't. But I'd always been interested in con artists. Who isn't, in a way? You know, they're quite fascinating. But that movie, normally most people think of victims of con artists as gullible, stupid, greedy. You know, you can't fool an honest man is a very famous and very wrong saying. And she didn't fit that mold. And so that really captivated me. And I thought, how accurate is that? Could I be conned? You know, could you be conned?
Right.
And so I wanted to read about it, and I couldn't because no one had written about it.
Really?
There are lots of books about specific stories of con artists, but there was nothing delving into the psychology of how it works or why it works. Huh. And so that there went the next 3 years of my life.
Well, and you aren't just a writer. Like the woman, the character in that movie, psychology PhD,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Well, Dr. Konnikova, what is the psychological profile of con artists?
I write about the dark triad of traits, psychopathy, narcissism, Machiavellianism.
And psychopathy, it's what psychopaths have, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't experience emotions the way that other people
right.
do. So you have a total lack of guilt, of remorse, of empathy.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're trying to say that it doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter.
And how is that different from sociopath?
So it's not. So sociopathy was a term that was made up halfway through the century because people thought that psychopathy sounded
a little bit too scary.
But it's the same thing.
Oh,
and psychologists only use the term psychopathy.
Thank you. Good. I'm glad to know that. So narcissism, everybody knows that one, which is essentially extreme egotism, right?
Absolutely. It's a sense of entitlement that I'm not actually doing anything wrong because I deserve this.
Right. And Machiavellianism is not a term of art in the field, is it?
It is.
Really?
So, yeah. And it comes from Machiavelli's The Prince.
Yeah.
It's the ability to manipulate people without their realizing they're being manipulated.
Uh-huh.
So they think they're doing what they want to do, but you're really pulling the strings so that they're doing what you want them to do. It's this insidious form of influence. And I think to be a con artist, you have to be Machiavellian. There's no way around it.
Part of the classic American myth is the self-made person, man. Also, we love the idea, the self-invention, you know, Horatio Alger, Jay Gatsby, and a certain kind of moxie, which is a positive spin on con man-ism. So con men are just an embodiment of the American dream.
In some ways, yes, in the sense that con artists are masters of self-reinvention, especially imposters who become someone else. There is something very American in it, and cons did thrive. So one of the golden ages of the con was during the gold rush and kind of the westward expansion, because it's a sense of opportunity. Anything is possible. And we believe in the American dream. We believe in things getting better.
So given that history and that very American history and this set of American national character pieces that add up to it, is it, I mean, not that we're uniquely so susceptible, but particularly so?
I do think there's something about Americans that make us all potentially greater victims. There are more cons we'd fall for than people from other countries, just because hope is what con artists sell. And if you come from, you know, if you grew up in the Soviet Union, it would be much more difficult to run some of these cons on you, because you'd say, you just raise an eyebrow and say, get out.
Yeah. We asked you to help us put together a kind of little library of movies about con artists in addition to the David Mamet one. Here is a clip from David O. Russell's film, American Hustle, in which Kristen Bale and Amy Adams play con artists. And these are, once again, characters based on real folks.
Like me, she learned to survive and reinvent herself. She knew she had to reinvent her life and her identity. And like me, she envisioned a better, elegant future for herself. Like me, she knew you had to have a vision.
I was broke, fearless, with nothing to lose. And my dream, more than anything, was to become anyone else other than who I was.
Which again, in that little description, and her especially, gives one that sense of how the American character can go both sides. It's, I want to be this beautiful, wonderful person conning the world and maybe myself about who I am, and I'll be a con person in order to achieve that.
Yeah, that's also interesting because that's a justification, a self-justification that a lot of con artists use to make it seem a little better than it actually is. Oh, I just wanted a better life for myself. But you know what? So do a lot of other people who work right. hard for it and end up going to school and spending a lot of time to get that better life.
Yeah, definitely. I want to play another clip from one of my favorite films from 1973. This is George Roy Hill's The Sting. Paul Newman and Robert Redford are con men planning a big con to get revenge on a mobster who killed their friend.
Can't do it alone, you know. Takes a mob of guys like you and enough money to make them look good.
Well, I know plenty of guys.
It's not like playing winos in the street. You can't outrun
them. I never played for no winos.
You gotta keep his con even after you take his money. He can't know you took him.
You're scared of him.
Right down to my socks, Buster. You're talking about a guy who'd kill a grifter over a chunk of money, wouldn't support him for 2 days.
You're gonna go for him.
Just don't want a hothead looking to get even coming back halfway through saying it ain't enough because it's all we're going to get.
That was Paul Newman and Robert Redford in The Sting.
Such a good movie.
And remind listeners what The Sting and The Sting was.
So it's a wire fraud. So basically you tell people that you have an in at the Telegraph, and so you get results of the Telegraph news a little bit earlier. And so they think that they're going to have an edge in placing bets on races or whatnot. And so you end up losing money because you think that you have an edge and there's really no edge. And that movie was actually also based on a real con, the Gondorf Brothers wire fraud.
Right.
It was the biggest wire fraud of the 20th century.
It's interesting. It makes me want to see it again because I hadn't – because, of course, in the modern day, today, this high – frequency trading is based on the real version of getting information a fraction of a second.
Exactly. So today, something like The Wire isn't that far removed from the truth.
Yeah. So when we hear about most real crimes, we go, oh, that's terrible. Oh, that thief, that burglar, that robber. Con artists, we cut out a special exemption for them,
yeah.
right? They're cooler. And why is that?
Well, I think for two reasons. First, it's not usually a violent crime. So it's easier to glamorize because they're not out in the street killing people. Instead, they're not often committing a crime. And it is artistry. So they don't take things. You give it to them. And the other reason, I think, is because we see it as a victimless crime, because we blame the victim.
Well, we do because we blame them for being conned in a lot of cases. Not necessarily, oh, you're stupid, you deserved it. But if their greed led them to fall for the con.
We think that they're greedy, but when we see it, look at it from the outside, we're very objective and we say this is too good to be true. When it's happening to us, it's never too good to be true.
It's just good.
It's just good. It's awesome.
Right.
Yay, I deserve this. And so all of a sudden, you're not objective when it comes to yourself. And so you look at that return and you say, see, I knew I was picking a good investment. You know, I knew what I was doing.
Right. So we have this president. Donald Trump is often colloquially called a con man, has been before he ran for president. I may have done it once or twice myself in years past. Is he, by your definition, a con man?
Yes.
Good. Well, we're done here. Talk about that.
So I think that the thing that really sets apart most politicians, because a lot of people will tell me, well, aren't all politicians con artists? I say, well, if you say that, then the word con artist stops meaning anything. So I think, no, they're not all con artists. Here's the difference. Con artists are people who take advantage of your confidence for their own personal ends. And those ends have nothing to do with what they're saying. Whereas politicians, sure, they might lie a little bit.
They're a little narcissistic.
Exactly.
They can be Machiavellian.
Can be all of those things. But ultimately, they believe in what they're doing to some extent. And sure, they might not be able to give you kind of the health reform exactly the way they promised. But they're trying to reform health in some respect. They're politicians.
Although, doesn't President Donald Trump count as a politician now since he's president?
I don't think Donald Trump is a politician. He doesn't care about the office. He cares about Donald Trump. And if you look at what he says to different people, you start realizing that he's doing exactly what con artists do, which is case the people, figure out what do you want the most, and I'm going to sell it to you. You know, I'm going to give you the story that you personally want. And I don't care if that story is completely different from the story I'm giving someone else. Everyone gets their version of the truth. That's what con artists are brilliant at doing. Donald Trump is brilliant at doing that. It's like he read the con artist playbook, except there is no playbook. You know, it's all instinct. He feels it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he does it consciously, but he knows how to do it.
Maria, thank you so much for coming in and talking about cons and grifts.
Thank you so much for having me, Kurt.
Maria Konnikova is host of the new podcast, The Grift. She's also the author of the book, The Confidence Game.